All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, July 31st of 2024. Looking ahead here, we have a 7-game early MLB slate already underway today. We have a 5-game MLB slate late, MLB main slate later this evening, and then we have Olympic Golf teeing off at 3 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do the show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But with that said, we have quite a few questions to get us started today. So we are going to jump right in. Going to get SaberSim pulled up here. As a reminder, we do have our build review show at 5 p.m. Eastern after this. So if you ever want your build reviewed for an MLB main slate, drop your username in the Office Hours channel in Discord, and I will add you to the queue. If we are full that day, we will just roll you over till tomorrow, and we will make sure that we get your build reviewed. But let's start off here with this question that came in Discord. And this might be a good build review candidate as well, but let's just talk about this in the Office Hours channel or Office Hours format. So said, I've been having a problem with my lineups. I run 150 lineups for the MLB 50 cent contest on DraftKings. I'm only cashing between 25 to 35 lineups. What can I do to improve this number? So when we talk about cashing percentage, right, it's really important to remember what is the cashing percentage of the contest and what does that actually look like when converted to lineups, right? I think it's very easy to like, okay, you know, the cashing percent is like 25%, but then not realize how few lineups that actually is in the contest that you're playing and what you can expect to see. So let's take the DK main slate today, for example, and let's go to 150 max. You said you're playing the 50 cent. So cashing percentage is 23%, right? So then let's pull up our calculator. And let's say, hey, you know, what actually is, you know, 23% of 150 lineups, right? So if I come up here and then I'm going to go 23 divided by 150. No, that's not right. I think it's 150 divided by, I did it backwards. 150 divided by. Oh, that's why I got to do a percentage. So 23%, right? So I would do 0.23. That's what I'm messing up on. No. Why is my math so bad? Okay. What do I need to do here? Because 15 was wrong. That would be like 10%, right? So maybe if I do it backwards, 150 times, oh, maybe because I was dividing, times 0.23. 35 lineups. Okay, so this is the right way to do the math here. So we take 150, we multiply it by 0.23, 23%, which we got here from here in the app, and that's 34.5. If you are, you know, average player in this contest, as good as the rest of the field, then you should expect to cash around 34 lineups over a period of time, right? Depending on your sample size, the more and more contests you play, you should fall somewhere within this range. Now, if you are constantly below this range, then there's probably some things that you can do to make your process better. If you are above this range, then you're probably have a better cashing percentage than most players do on average here. I don't think simply looking at your cashing percentage is going to be the best way to judge how you are doing on any given slate. So, you know, what I would rather spend my time doing is, you know, maybe doing like a build review, which I'll respond to you in the Discord and ask, like, if you want to add your name to the queue for today's show or tomorrow's show. But I did want to talk about what you can expect here, right? Like, this is the average expectation for cashing here. And if we go into any contest, right, let's go back to yesterday. And we're going to go to the main slate. We're going to go to contests. We're going to go to all contests. And let's go to the 150 max, 50 cent for yesterday. And then let's just go and look at these users. We're going to look at the best sim ROI players in the contest, players that are grading out the best, right? Strong portfolios of lineups. So we go to users, go to 150 maxers, highest sim ROI, right? If we come in here and look at the sim median profit, most of the time, basically all the time, these players are losing on average. They're, you know, most middle outcome, you know what I mean? Like the outcome they can expect 50% of the time is actually losing money. Well, Andrew, that sounds stupid. Like, why would you play this game if you're expected to lose, right? Well, it's because these payout structures are so top heavy most often, right? 10% to first, 25% to first, 33% to first, right? You know, your winnings come from the very few times in a season where you do bink, right? But you need to play enough times to give yourself enough shots on goal to achieve this. I think the mistake a lot of people make is thinking that DFS bankrolls are similar to other forms of gambling, like poker, like sports betting, where you see this like slow, steady, you know, trek upwards. But DFS bankrolls look way different. You're almost always on a downswing if you're not binking a contest, right? Like DFS is like, okay, hey, I bink, great. You lose, bink, lose. Like you're almost always on a downswing, right? And it kind of sucks, right? But in this backtesting project where we got this graph from all these bankroll simulations, you know, this player who is a expected ROI of 20%, which is extremely high, they were still losing 22 to 24 days in a calendar month playing every single day. So they were only winning 6 to 8 days in a calendar month out of, you know, on average 30 days here. So this is what was happening. And, you know, your winnings can be from one bink in a season. That's what this red line is. Like, hey, this winning player was losing for 140 days and they had one bink and it made them profitable on the year. When they look at the year, they had a solid year. Every single day, they probably feel terrible, right? Oh my God, I can't win. I keep losing. You know, my lineups look good. What's wrong? And that is like the variance of DFS, right? That is why we take this approach of like, hey, are your lineups good in contest flashback? What's your sim ROI look like? How do we help you in the build review on a more general strategy spectrum as opposed to just telling you who to play today, right? Like these are all the things that we're doing here. So I'll follow up in the Discord, ask if you want your build reviewed on our show later today. But I think it's really important to grasp this concept of winning expectation in DFS to help you, you know, mentally weather the swings of DFS before we even get to that next part. So that's what I would be thinking about. That's what I really want to get across here, at least in office hours. Let's get SaberSim back on the big board here. And let's hit this next question from Ryan. All right. Mr. Ryan said, hey, Andrew, I'm playing satellite contest for future NFL slates on Owner's Box. When you manually do the contest sim, do you set it to 100% to first? Thanks. So I did respond to this earlier, wanted to give him a quick answer, but wanted to cover this on the show as well. So first you would set the percent to first to 100% here. And then for the percent entries paid, you know, say there's 25 entries in this contest, right? Easy math. You would just do 1 divided by 25 as the percent entries paid here, right? So like that would be how many entries get paid in the contest, which is, that's going to be 4%, right? So if only first place is winning a ticket, there are 25 entries in the contest, you would set percent to first to 100%. You would set percent entries paid to 4%. So just do 1 divided by the number of entries in the contest to get the percent entries paid. But Those are the only two things to do with that. And then obviously setting your contest size appropriately. All right. Next question here from Wise Guy Locks. And Wise Guy said, are self-sims still recommended with the new update? Yeah, I actually asked the team about this, and they said yes. And the reason that self-simming still has is valuable is because that there is still ownership uncertainty in our field lineups. And, you know, one thing that Jordan and Matt talked about in that pro video where, you know, self-simming what really like came about was that, you know, you get a you get some ownership variance when you're self-simming, and it accounts for a range of outcomes for the ownership. Whether a team comes in at 1%, 3%, that's kind of what you're accounting for when you self-sim. So still valuable. All right. A couple questions here from PTZ. Let's hit these one at a time. First part says, with recent update to the contest sims that now account for self-competitiveness between entries, how does this affect the overall strategy for managing multiple entry portfolios? Specifically, how should users adjust their entry diversification to maximize their chances of winning? Okay, so I don't think this really changes much at all. I think one thing that you're going to see is that, you know, you might start increasing the mini uniques higher, but not going further down in your pool as far. And I think I saw this a little bit yesterday where, you know, we were at, I think I was doing a build review and somebody was at like a mini unique of 6 and we were only at like 113 lineups out of like 1500 or something like that. And it's like, whoa, like we're getting to a pretty high mini unique number here and we're still in the top 10% of our pool. I think that's the effect that you're really going to see from this is this just diverse pool, this very, very strong pool with lineups that are kind of very spread out based on our sims, right? So I think those are the ways that you're going to kind of see this as opposed to the old way that it was done. But as far as what you're doing, I don't think there's really anything different that you need to do here. I think it's still good to use each contest specific contest sim where you go through and fill them one by one here. So like, you know, say you want to run one build, but you have, you know, 10 contest sims in your drop down, like, you know, do your 20 max, trash those lineups, do your 150 max, trash those lineups, do your 3 max, trash those lineups, which we talk about here all the time on the show. So I think that is still the right way to use the contest sims when filling your lineups. All right. Second question. PTZ question says, can you explain how the new default contest sim ROI, risk adjusted ROI, win rates sort result in a higher portfolio win rate? What are the key mechanics behind these metrics? And in what type of contest will this update be most beneficial? Okay, so just kind of like a overview. I know, you know, you guys could check out the announcement that Matt posted in Discord. He went into a lot of detail about the new contest sims and how they work. You know, Matt and the models team are going to be one of the best resources for information regarding the changes. But just from, you know, kind of my understanding, what I've heard internally. So we're basically utilizing the number of lineups that you have in a contest in the ROI calculation. So before, what we were doing is you're putting one lineup into a contest one at a time, playing out 100,000 times. Now we're more conscious of, hey, this is a 20 max. Hey, this player does have 20 lineups in the 20 max. So what we're trying to do is trying to model more close. We're trying to model the pre-contest sim more closely to the post-contest sim, where you do have more than one lineup in a contest at a time when we are running that simulation. So the end result ends up being a more immediate diversification within your pool, because now your lineups are fighting for ROI against each other. So it's not like, hey, lineup one gets simmed against the field by itself. It's a 1% owned stack. That stack does good sometimes. That goes into your pool, or that gets a high sim ROI. And then lineup two, hey, this is also a 1% owned stack of the same team, goes into your goes into the contest sim, gets a high sim ROI, goes into your pool, and then those high sim ROIs get pushed to the top. Now it's like, hey, some of these lineups are in the contest together. You know, they're fighting for ROI against each other. it's less likely that they all rise to the top and only some or a few rise to the top as opposed to all of these low-owned stacks, right? So, you know, you get the diversification. Your lineups are going to cover more unique situations as opposed to like kind of what I was describing of like cornering the market, like lineup one, you know, this corner, line two, this corner, line three, this corner, as opposed to now, you know, these lineups are standing together, you know, trying to figure out which ones are going to make it, right? So those are like kind of the big differences here, but the end result just ends up being a better, more balanced selection of lineups at the end of the day. All right. Third question here from PTEZ. Question says, the update introduces more organic diversification and exposures, even without changing mini uniques. How should users balance the relative risk and ownership of players and their lineups under this new system? Are there any best practices or examples you can share? I think that, you know, you still need to be conscious of your exposure, your leverage, the ownership of players. Like, you know, that is what I'm always looking at. No matter what's going on behind the scenes, whatever, I want to know how many players are in my lineups, what are my exposure levels to those lineups, how much leverage do I have in the field, how much leverage on those players do I have compared to the field? Those are the same questions that you need to be asking here. And I think that, you know, this kind of goes well with this next question from Andy. Are there any other aggregate metrics you would recommend, or is it based on our preference and the contest size we choose? Thank you very much. So what I would really recommend here, I think, you know, PTZ and Andy's question kind of go hand in hand here, is adding some which I think is really, really important, right? You know, the contest sim is moving more towards treating your lineups as a portfolio. I think that you need to do the same as well. And I think aggregate metrics are one of the best ways to do it. You can look at individual player exposures, but then, you know, kind of take an even more zoomed out approach and look at your lineups as a whole, right? So like one of the best ways to do that, and I'm just going to make a default contest sim here, not going to do anything crazy, but there's really three metrics that I've been noticing . So those metrics are going to be these three. So what I would do is I would run my contest sim, and then I would come in here and I would say, show me the average projection of my lineups. So show me the average ROI of my contest sim of my lineups from my contest sim of my lineups, and then show me the minimum ROI from the contest sim, basically like my lowest ROI lineup. And I think these are three really good aggregate metrics to have. You get to see the projection, you get to see the ROI, and then you get to see the lowest ROI, right? And what you're going to probably notice is how when one of these things changes, the others change. And this will give you a good perspective, right? So right now we're at like 97.6 projection, 117 average ROI, and then 55% is the lowest. So mini uniques of 2 doesn't change anything very much. Mini uniques of 3 projection goes up a little bit. ROI is about the same. Mini unique of 4. See, this is kind of what I'm saying about like the diversification. We went from 1 to 4 mini unique, and we've only dropped like 11 spots. Our lowest lineup is ranked 31. And a lot of our metrics are not moving at all. They're staying very, very similar. So this is like the additional diversification that is happening more naturally. Like sometimes we would get to 5 and we would be seeing like, you know, kind of drastic changes in our portfolios, but we're not really seeing that at all here. And we're still in the top 10% of our pool here. And we only built 500 lineups. So, you know, average projections, 99, sim ROI is still over 100. This is probably the biggest change we've seen going from 4 to 5, but you're going to see like kind of interesting here that average projection has gone up like 1.5 points, but the ROI of our sets have gone down. Now, I think this is probably related to this being a shorter slate. This is only a 5-game slate. So I think like on a 5-game slate, ownership is going to get a little bit more concentrated. We're definitely seeing a lot of pitcher ownership concentration. You know, Cincinnati and the Angels seem very, very chalky. So I think what's happening is like we're probably moving more towards playing Cincinnati lineups as our mini uniques goes up. That's why our projection is moving up, but our average or ROI is going down slightly here because we're playing the chalkier teams. All right, mini unique of 6. Projection goes up more. ROI goes down. I bet if we come in here and look at our team stacks, we could probably see a little bit of a trend here as to like what teams are going up and what teams are going down. So let's start at 4. So I'm in uniques of 4. And we could probably just sort by projected runs and see how this changes. Okay, so it's actually Houston who's causing this change, right? So we go mini unique of 4. We see the average ROI is 117%. Projections 98.4. We only have 5 Houston lineups. But then we go to mini unique of 5. Now we go to 8 Houston lineups. And, you know, this is probably where some of that additional projection is coming from, right? We go to mini unique of 6 here. Interesting. Houston goes down. Who goes up? We're getting like a lot of exposure in this middle range, like Angels, San Francisco, Chicago, which Houston's only a 4.9 run total and all these other guys, 4.8, 4.7, 4.6. So very, very close there. And then I wonder if we're like fading chalk pitchers. Let's go to pitchers. So mini unique of 4, Cease, Lodolo, Framber. Kind of the same. Oops, one too far. So see, this is actually really interesting. You look at mini uniques here, right? We're at 6. We're at an average projection of like 99.9, 86% sim ROI. But then when we go to 7, average projection goes down almost 2 points, but then the ROI is almost the same. So that's really interesting to me. I think that's pretty cool how the ROI stays the same. It looks like we dropped like a number of Dylan Cease lineups, and he's obviously really well projected. So dropping, you know, 4 lineups with him, you know, has an effect here. But I think that, you know, these 3, going back to the original question, you know, these 3 aggregate metrics can tell you a lot about what's happening with the changes you're making. And I think that, you know, this is a very good resource. And these would be 3 things that I'm looking at when building my own lineups. All right. A couple more questions rolling in the Discord here. Let's hit these. First one from Sammy. And just going to get this in the chat. And then we got another one from PTZ here. Cue these up. All right. First one from Sammy. When looking at the single game Sabre score, is that leaning towards more single entry and/or 3 max? Thanks. So it's not leaning towards a contest type. It is leaning towards a slate type. So, you know, if you come into like the slate selector, you're going to see style. And you're going to see classic, and then you're going to see showdown, like for MLB, for example. The single game saber scores for these showdowns, right? Where there is a, as it's named, a single game on the slate, one specific game only. That is what that saber score is built for. And the reason for that is because if you look at the variables, the primary variable is sim optimals, where it's looking at how many times a group of players was the best lineup that you could play, because we're only going to put one lineup into your pool once. But if that group of players is showing up over and over, well, chances are they might, that lineup probably has a better win probability. And we want to account for that in our Sabre score formula. So single game is doing things like that. Think about other sports that require an optimal: MMA, NASCAR, Formula One, you know, NFL showdown, NBA showdown, MLB showdown. Sports like that are where you're going to want to use that single game saber score. All right. Question from PTZ. The update mentions the risks of having too much exposure to lineups with very narrow win conditions, like stacking low team totals in MLB. Can you provide strategies or guidelines to avoid these pitfalls and ensure a balanced approach that mitigates cannibalization of potential payouts? I mean, I don't have to suggest anything, and because of the update, right? Like, that's kind of what's happening here. It's like, you know, we were aware that this was happening, and the first, you know, kind of thing that we came up with was risk-adjusted ROI, right? Like, when we first released Contest Sims, we didn't have risk-adjusted ROI. We just had ROI. But when you would sort by ROI, you would get these very low stack teams. You would get, you know, teams against the chalky pitcher, these low total teams, because over 100K sample, they grid out well, right? We're like, ah, you know, this probably isn't the best. What should we do, right? And then we went and created risk-adjusted ROI. And that was, you know, accounting for like how often the lineup wins, how much it wins versus how often the lineup loses, how much it loses. And, you know, getting that was like kind of step one. And then step two was like, hey, you know, what if we started doing this self sim? We do the sim against the field, but then we sim these lineups against each other. And then that was a way of like taking these lineups that grade out well against the field and then making them fight against each other for ROI. And then that was kind of step two. And then we took another step, which is like, okay, how do we make it so you don't have to do this, but you know, it's still valuable, but you don't have to do that, right? How can we kind of accomplish this by itself? And that is what the new ROI is doing. It's like what you're describing is, you know, how do you avoid this cannibalization? It's like, or how do you mitigate it, right? Like that is what the new contest sim format is doing. And it's doing that by accounting for how many lineups you have in the contest. And then basically saying like, hey, only, you know, there can only be, you know, one winner in this contest sim of 20 lineups or whatever it may be, or 150 lineups, right? It's not taking each lineup individually, which is where that was coming from, right? Not pitting your lineups up against each other is what was leading to the concentrated exposure, to the cornering of the market, all of those things. By taking that new input into account, that accounts for it without you having to do so, right? Like, our whole goal here is to make DFS fast for you, make it efficient, and put you in a position where on any given night you have strong lineups that can take down a contest. So there's not really anything you need to do there. I think one thing that, you know, you could be aware of is, you know, come into your build, right? Look at your team stacks. You could sort by projected runs and just see like, hey, am I super concentrated on like the lowest team totals of the day, right? Like this is one way to do it, is just come in here and spot check, you know, add this into your process. Like, hey, I'm going to come in here, I'm going to sort by projected runs, see what I'm getting by default here, right? And I'm sorting by Saber score at the moment. You know, maybe I want to go and sort by risk adjusted ROI and, you know, kind of see how that changes, right? So this is what I would be thinking about when going through that process here. But these are things that you can do. All right. Looks like we got another follow-up from PTZ. Throw this in there. But I don't want you guys to get like worried or like freaked out with like the new approach. Like, the new approach is better. Like, we're iterating on, you know, ideas and concepts all the time, trying to make this even more accurate, even more efficient for you guys. With the new organic diversification being highlighted as superior to using mini-uniques, are there still scenarios where mini-uniques might be useful? How should users decide when to rely on mini-unique versus the new diversification approach? So basically what the new approach is doing, it's giving you a more diverse pool automatically. That doesn't mean you shouldn't use mini-uniques. That doesn't mean it's not useful. You're just going to get the effect that I was talking about, where you're going to start to increase this, but you're not going to go as far down in your pool right away. Like, at mini-uniques of 5, we are only at lineup 38 out of 500. We have barely doubled. You know, we started with 20, right? We had 1 through 20. We haven't even gone another 20 deep into our pool, and we're already at mini-unique of 5. Like, that, I'm still going to use this, you know, but I'm not looking at just that number. I'm not just setting a blanket number saying, you know, one less than the max or whatever. Like, I've always been a big advocate for watch how adjusting your min uniques changes your exposures and your leverages, and then make a decision on whether or not what the right number is for you. And like for me, you know, five might be a decent number. I just might specifically lower Ohtani because he's very low owned and I don't want to play this much of him, right? Or maybe six is the right number, right? Maybe I want to let SaberSim do more of the work here and let SaberSim drop Ohtani another 10%, drop some of these other Dodgers batters, you know, further, right? I'm at lineup 70 now. Okay, now I'm at lineup 51 and min unique of seven, right? Ohtani goes down to 35%. So min uniques is always going to be a way of quickly and efficiently adjusting your exposures, increasing your player pool, but you should still be keying in on the leverage that you have on players and things like that. But the diversification approach is just going to make your pool more diverse, and then you use min uniques after that anyways. So, you know, those things can still be used together. You don't have to pick one or the other. All right. A lot of questions today. Good show. I think we are all caught up here in the Discord and the YouTube chat. I am going to get out of here and get ready for our 5 p.m. Eastern show for the build review. So look forward to seeing you guys in about half an hour here. So until then, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.